This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening, and let's listen now to the voice of one brave heart in Ferguson, Missouri.
Michael's going to make it better for our sons so they can be better black men. So they can be better for our daughters so they can be better black women. Better for me so I can be a better black father. And we know they're going to make our mamas even better than they are today.
Can the creative spirit of people working together push back the forces of violence and chaos? That's our focus this hour on a Monday of hope and caution around the nation and the world. In addition to the developments in Ferguson, we will touch on the brave hearts of Scotland getting ready to vote for independence next month. We'll explore the illicit organ trade, global organ trade, with a New York Times investigative reporter. Caution in South Florida as school begins for some troubled students, and we will consider the collaborative power of the Beatles, four young men working together whose creativity is revealed by a creative dad's music mix. Stay tuned for that later this hour. But first, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon has called out the National Guard in Ferguson after citizens defied a weekend curfew with more violent protests, including reports of firebombs and gunfire targeting local officers. The rioting was answered with hundreds of officers firing rubber bullets and tear gas. During the daylight hours, Captain Ron Johnson of the Missouri Highway Patrol, whose voice you just heard a moment ago and who has taken over the local police operation, was working crowds in Ferguson, appealing for peace. Here he is before a packed audience at the Greater Grace Church.
I want to start off by talking to Mike Brown's family. And I want you to know my heart goes out to you. And I say that I'm sorry. I wear this uniform. And I should stand up here and say that I'm sorry.
Captain Johnson urged people to embrace law enforcement as a part of the community and not as an invasion force.
This is my neighborhood. You are my family. You are my friends. And I am you. And I will stand and protect you. I will protect your right to protest. And I'm telling you right now, I'm full right now. I came in here today and I saw people cheering and people clapping, and this is what the media needs to put on TV.
But over the weekend, citizens were angrily reacting to the release of surveillance video, which police said shows a looming 6'4" Michael Brown shoving a convenience store clerk and stealing shortly before his death, although the officer identified in the Brown shooting was apparently not answering any robbery call. In addition, a preliminary private autopsy revealed that Brown was shot six times, including twice in the head. Joining us now is St. Louis Public Radio reporter Jason Rosenbaum. Jason, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
So give me a sense. What do people feel they need more of, Captain Johnson's spirit there or the National Guard to keep order on the streets in Ferguson?
Boy, that's a really good question. I was actually at that rally sitting about 5 feet away from Captain Johnson. And I don't use these words lightly. It was an unbelievable speech that brought the capacity crowd to its feet. And it seemed from that moment, maybe we had turned a corner here in the St. Louis area after days of discord and violence. But after about 9:30, things just spiraled completely out of control. The words that both Captain Johnson and everybody else at that church spoke seemed to be a distant memory, with just tear gas and broken windows and every other force of destruction you can imagine. And as soon as I saw the TV screens after coming back from that rally, I knew that it was an inevitability that the National Guard was going to be called. And as you mentioned, the governor of Missouri did that earlier this morning.
Well, I want to talk in a moment about what the National Guard can do that the very militarized-looking police weren't able to do in Ferguson last week. But give us a sense of the state of the investigation at this point. Federal authorities, local authorities, where does that stand?
Well, as you kind of mentioned, a private autopsy came out. The New York Times reported on that. There are dozens of FBI agents combing Ferguson asking for information. There's a local investigation that's being done by St. Louis County, which, by the way, is under fire by various political leaders and people within this protest. And, you know, people want quick action for this, but the reality is these investigations take a lot of time to complete. There's a lot of witnesses that need to be talked to and a lot of evidence that has to kind of be looked at by investigators. And the people that want, you know, an immediate indictment or some sort of action, I just don't think they're getting that right now. And I don't think they're going to get that just because of the way investigations work.
Back to the National Guard. What is the capability and credibility of the Guard here? And what can they do that law enforcement wasn't able to accomplish last week? Any sense?
That's going to be the real unknown here. I mean, with each passing day, it's kind of escalated and escalated. It started off where, you know, the county and a bunch of municipalities responded to the rioting. Then St. Louis County basically took over. And on Wednesday, obviously, their response made international news. Then the Highway Patrol took over. And it seemed like it was going okay on Thursday. But on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it just wasn't happening. And I don't think people know what to expect with the National Guard. This is a military force that is usually used to either respond to natural disasters here, or in some cases, they're jettisoned out to foreign conflicts. And I don't really know what the reaction to the crowd is going to be. I know for the people that are protesting peacefully and vigorously, I mean, I don't think that's going to make them, you know, more violent or anything, because they haven't been violent to begin with. But the people that are, you know, adamantly trying to confront governmental authorities, of the people that are out there at night, it's just going to be a real unknown how they're going to respond to this new, you know, force that's going to be on the ground.
In the last minute, Jason, some have described this as really evidence of an all-out assault on young black males. Any sense that this could spread to other communities in the St. Louis area, or is it confined to Ferguson at this point?
I don't know if it's going to spread to other communities, but I can tell you just from my reporting, the people that I've talked to that have been protesting, some of them are from Ferguson, but a lot of them are from the surrounding communities, which are either partially or predominantly African American. This is now, I think, stretched beyond Ferguson's borders and is now not only an entire St. Louis issue, but I think, as you're seeing, it's become national and international. And, you know, these types of situations have been brewing for a long time in St. Louis, and now they're on display for the national and international media to behold.
Jason Rosenbaum giving us a sense of what's going on in Ferguson and the entire St. Louis area. He's a reporter for St. Louis Public Radio. Jason, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
We want to talk now to someone on the front lines of the struggle to hold this community together. He has no badge or body armor. The Reverend Steve Lawler is the rector of St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Ferguson. Welcome, Reverend.
Thank you.
How are you and your congregation responding to the events in Ferguson?
It's very fluid, and so a lot of what goes on is moment to moment. Yesterday was a really busy day. We have become a food collection place, so the parish hall is filling up with food. People from all over the community are ready to help out. And a couple of quick stories. One, a very small, I'm saying three-year-old girl who was came by with her grandmother, and she's got, you know, a can in hand and a crayon drawing of people eating. And then the other was the other day, a man whose son was murdered a couple, probably 2.5 years ago, and him coming and just the depth of his compassion for the family, for the police officers, for the community, for the neighborhoods. I mean, just completely from a compassionate place. And he too had, you know, bagged food. So I would say the congregation's been really great and responsive. I would say, like the community, a number of people, myself included, are starting to feel some of the fatigue. The shock came immediately, but the fatigue, I think, is there now more for more people.
Reverend, in your church building on Sunday and during the events in Ferguson over the last week, as you look out to the people and the crowds that have come to rely on your church, what are you seeing in the faces?
Well, I mentioned fatigue. I would say the other thing is that there are a lot of different stories, a lot of different narratives about what's going on, and people are heartbroken and also are ready to say they just don't know. This is such a dynamic situation, such a different thing. And so I would say I'm seeing more people feel the kind of shock and also feel the kind of confusion about what happens next.
Are you seeing white faces and black faces with the same kinds of questions?
Yes, absolutely. I would say the people who are on the ground and in Ferguson, who live in Ferguson, are sharing many of the same questions and many of the same gatherings. There's a lot of different responses, and everything from, you know, we've got to get the violence part settled down, we've got to figure out how to manage that, to I don't understand how people would do that. I don't understand why somebody would loot. I don't understand why these small business owners are being the victims. And overall, I'd say people's sense about the shooting is that it will probably be really hard, but it will be good when the grand jury makes its findings known, so that that next big step can be taken.
Reverend Lawler, is this a divided community, Ferguson? And how are you doing personally in all of this?
Oh, thanks for asking that. The community is not divided in most ways. So I think it's a community that has a history of being multiracial. I think if you were at the protests or the 4th of July parade, you know, a month or so ago, if you were at the farmers market, most places you go in Ferguson are multiracial, and most neighborhoods are. There are some pocket neighborhoods that are probably predominantly Black and some that are predominantly white. And I think this kind of experience has been really hard for the folks who are very active in those various connective tissue kinds of organizations in town. But clearly, for a part of the community, this is what's happened when there hasn't been the right kind of relationships between the police and the community. You know, I think this would be awful in any community, but I think it's really heightened that for a part of the community, the level of distrust is very high. So it doesn't take a stretch for people to see that this is a pattern, not just a single incident. There's some hope, but I think it's also each night that we have destruction and violence is a real setback, because we're looking for things that will start the process of really working out what justice looks like in this and what peace looks like in this and what moving forward looks like in this.
Reverend Steve Lawler, take care of yourself, and thanks so much for speaking with us.
All right. Thank you for your interest.
Reverend Steve Lawler is the rector of St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Ferguson, Missouri. Here's some of what you're saying about the events in Ferguson. Ed from New Jersey writes, instead of giving the legal system a chance to work, everyone, protesters, politicians, community leaders, activists, and the media, have made the decision the police were wrong. The damage to local businesses has gotten little coverage, and no matter what the facts show, there will be lasting negative effects on this community. One of you in Greenfield, South Dakota, says law enforcement is here to protect the government and business interests, not the public at large. There is little to no positive relationship between civilians and their police, at least in major cities, according to this perspective. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to join the conversation. We always invite you to be a part of our response network. You can sign up for our texts. You'll get one text a day. We ask you a question featured on the next day's program, so your voice becomes part of the on-air conversation. All you have to do is text the word START to 69866. That's START to 69866. Messaging and data rates may apply here. You can reply STOP to opt out.